Of Psalms chapter 65. I'm going to read like the first four verses. Psalm 65, beginning in verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Verse 4 there is the kind of scripture that used to get me in trouble. Well, I'm more careful about who I talk to now. It would get me into trouble because I read it to people. Or I'd let somebody read it and say, now, what does that say? Didn't ask them what it meant. Because you can get all kind of meanings from people. I said, what does it say? What does it read? And worst of all, was when I told people about it. That's the one that causes trouble. I got to thinking about this because I listened to that message there of Tim James. He was preaching in John 6, and he was talking about, it actually reminded me of Earl a bit, he was talking about words. Words will get you in trouble. And what Earl said, words was his stock in trade. This is all we got. This is what we use to get ideas across to people. And it's what gets us in trouble. Not that that's bad. I've been in trouble before. I'll be in trouble again. But words can cause major trouble. And Tim talked about it there. You know, and you can believe whatever you want, and nobody will care. You can think whatever you want, and nobody will care until you open up your mouth. I sat in an Armenian church there for what? Close to a year, Walter? And nobody had any problems with it until some things started. Well, he started it from the pulpit. See, I was in the audience. And as long as I didn't shake my head at the wrong time, I was okay. But believing doesn't cause trouble unless you tell people what you believe. And like you said, people love miracles. Christ performed them. Did the loaves and the fishes and throngs, or people thronged him. That's what it says. Multitude followed him. Then he spoke in John 6. And they started off saying, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And then they ended up, many of his disciples walked no more with him. And that wasn't because of the miracles. No. It was because of what he said. I think I told this story before. I remember I was going to an Armenian church, Long Point down in Annawalt. And I was going there fairly regularly because I was living nearby. And the fella that preached there, at the end of his message, said, next Sunday, won't y'all come back because I'm going to preach on 666. You know, that was the hook to get everybody to come back. So I went back, which was normal anyway. And I had actually forgotten what he was going to do. But then he said, I'm going to preach on 666. And he goes to John chapter 6 and verse 66. But I don't know. It's a good scripture. The only thing is, so he got to John 6:66, and he read it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He spent 45 minutes talking about people leaving Christ. And he never read anything before it. Why they left. He told them that they shouldn't leave. He told them that it's bad to leave. He told them that people will leave. But he never got into it as to why he left, which would be John 6:65. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except that were given unto him of my Father. And then from that time, they may want a miracle, but they don't want to know God. They may like healing, may want to be healed, but they don't want to know Christ. Not as he is. People left Christ in droves. He wasn't being thronged anymore when he spoke. And I got to thinking about this. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And I wonder how many places this Sunday is this being read. Right. And I got my own feelings about stuff, and I really think not many. Because they won't have it. Now, this scripture is not divisive. This scripture is not troublesome. This scripture is truth. Nothing more, nothing less than the truth of God. The man that chooses, that God chooses and causes to approach unto him is blessed. That's the truth. That's why David wrote it down. If you believe this, there is no division. If you do not believe this, you'll have a division. I know people who have separated themselves from this truth. Mm-hmm. And y'all do too. The scripture's not divisive. The scripture's truth. However, Christ can be divisive. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Matthew chapter 10. If I can get there. Verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's pretty serious. But he doesn't stop there. Yeah. Verse 34. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. Wait a minute. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Isn't that what the angel said? Mm-hmm. Yep. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace. So whatever they were thinking about, people are thinking about, Christ didn't come to send peace on earth, because that's what he said, but a sword. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Christ did not come to send peace on earth. Okay? Christ did not come to send peace on earth. And Christ did not come to send peace on earth. I'm repeating myself necessarily, because this is also truth, and it's also not believed. Jesus is preached, well, let's put it this way. Most places I've been preach a Jesus who supposedly purposed to save everyone in the world. That's the supposition, and that's all it is. They think, I'm serious, they think that Christ wants everyone to be at peace with one another. That's what this little thing here, World Prayer Day, that I got, starts off, "Dear Americans," that's me, "you have heard it said, can't we all just get along?" No, we can't. As Christians, we say, "Woe unto those that just go along to get along." In a perfect world, this may be possible, but this is not a perfect world. That part's right. They don't understand, is there the problem with some of it? We can't all get along. I've had discussions with people, and every now and then this will come up. "Well, basically, I believe." Okay, then you know it's going to go off in left field somewhere. "I believe that we're all just trying to get to God the best way we know how. What if everybody's right?" And I always have a stock answer for that, okay? "Well, that can't be it, because if I'm right, a lot of people are wrong. Because this is what I believe. And if it's right, a lot of people are wrong. A lot of preachers are lying from pulpits. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes, his enemies, shall be they of his own household."
Right.
Christ didn't make us foes. We already were foes. He just let it be known. These people preach that Jesus Christ wants everyone to be at peace. The answer is no.
Right.
He didn't make us foes of each other. Believers and non-believers have been, are now, and will be foes,
right,
enemies, until he comes again. And when he comes again, he'll take care of the battle. It's already said. The ending's already been written. As a matter of fact, this let us know it's okay to have enemies, to be at odds with people, or for people, mostly, to be honest, for people to be at odds with us. Because anymore, I've actually gotten to the place where I don't go out and pick fights anymore. I used to. You know that, I always feel bad sometimes when I think about it, about, you know, they got a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Now, I did have some knowledge, but, well, I had way more zeal than I had knowledge at the time. And what I knew was true, but I was so zealous in wanting to get it out there, I was out there putting it in people's faces. You know that casting pearls before swine?
Right.
But they didn't turn and rend me, but that was because I was, you know, more aggressive than I used to be, or than I am now. But they didn't like it. And it was of no value. They weren't there to hear anything I said. I came to them and was trying to force it upon them. But it's okay to have enemies. As a matter of fact, Luke 6:26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." You ever watch TV? People talk really nice about Billy Graham. Everybody talks really nice about Billy Graham. It's because he lies. I've heard him on TV. And we're all going to the setup where they've got ringers in the crowd to come to the front to get people to come so they don't have to be first. To try to, actually, if you want to know the truth, to sucker people into coming to the front. So they can wring a decision out of them and think they fix themselves up. That's what false prophets do. False prophets lie about God. And people will speak well of them. Just like they used to do. Man hasn't changed. Now, what did Christ come to send to the earth? A sword. He came to set a man at variance with another man, perhaps his own father. And I looked up the word variance here in the King James. It uses translated variance in the King James through Strong's Concordance. And it either means a large knife or a short sword for cleaving, for cutting things in half, for the killing of animals, and for the cutting away of the flesh. That's what the definition says. He came to cut us apart. Mm-hmm. To set two people apart.
Right.
The sword.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I noticed something when I first come to know the truth of Christ. Little as I knew. I tried to talk to people about it that were my friends at that time. They didn't want to hear it. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't argumentative. It wasn't, you know. But they just went by. Suddenly you don't get calls on the phone from them anymore. You don't hang out. I was going to the college at the time, Bluefield State. You don't hang out in between classes. They've got other things to do, and they don't tell you what they're doing. And it hurt. It bothered me. Of course, other times then, I'd hear him start cussing or something like that, and I want to take a step to the side because I was waiting for the lightning to fall, like old Bill Cosby. But I used to be right there with him. But I wasn't there anymore. And they didn't want to talk about Christ, and they didn't want me to talk about Christ. We became at variance with one another. We became separate. But this at variance is to cut in two parts, to cleave asunder, to sever. That sounds like a job for a sword. That sounds actually rather divisive. Excuse me, divisive. Because it is divisive. And Christ came to be divisive. There are two kinds of people in this world, according to Jesus Christ. There are sheep, which belong to the good shepherd, lost or found. They belong to the good shepherd. and there is not sheep, commonly called goats. That's it. That's all there is. There's sheep and there's goats. That's a division. That's a separation. If you believe this and you are vocal about it, there will be a division from you. If you state this clearly and plainly, that blessed is the man whom God chooses and God causes to approach unto him, that he may dwell in his courts. Thy foes may be thine, may be those of your own household. I found this out, and I know others here have. Some of us have been in debates. Some of us, I will admit guilt to this, have been in what's called heated debates, which if you want to translate it to English, it's shouting matches, which I can do, but I try not to anymore. And people will separate from you. I've been called names. I've had stuff made up about me. I had a fist. A fella turned around, I was going to shake his hand, turned around and showed me his fist. People threatened to hang us from a tree in church. We were in church at the time. Then they get really sneaky. They'll tell the truth about you, too. That's usually the part that hurts worse. There may be some here now, I hope not, who will later remove themselves from this place because of the words spoken here. It happens. It's happened many times before. And I don't see any change in the depravity of man anytime soon or in the foreseeable future at all. Some divisions are ordained of God. Now, there are not to be divisions among believers. There is to be no division of doctrine. Romans 16 and verse 17. That ain't right. Anyway. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. There's nothing to be contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Not in the assembly of the saints. That's us. I like that. Trying to get cocky about it, but I like that. I'm a saint. Walter, I looked on the computer where that fellow was talking about doctrine, the word. Mason mentioned this last week. And it does. Anytime it talks about Jesus Christ doctrine, it is singular, not plural. Anytime you find the word doctrines where it is plural, is bad. It's teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men, after the commandments and doctrines of men, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Every time it's plural, it's bad. Now, there are a few times when it's singular that it's bad. But every time it does speak of Christ, it is singular. It's one teaching. It's one gospel. One message. Jesus Christ is all. And everything else has to do with that. But it's all one message. Christ himself spoke this Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. God's children, Christ's brethren, will know his doctrine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, their ability to articulate it, or how much of it, I can't tell you. I did hear a fella preaching a really good message. And right in the middle of that message, about 23 minutes in, he's talking about faith. Faith, God works faith in you through the preaching of the word. That ain't right. God gives faith. God gives life sovereignly through no means whatsoever. You don't have to be in church for God to make you alive. I don't believe that for a minute. But anyhow, God's children, Christ's brethren, will know Christ and will know his doctrine. But what happens when you speak of the doctrine of Christ? Does the sun start shining? The birds start singing? The clouds go away and all's right with the world? No. No. I wish. I do wish. I will tell you this. It feels good. And there are days that actually all's right with the world as far as I'm concerned. But that's one of them days, Red, where you're playing the hermit. And I'm not turning the TV on. And I don't turn the radio on. Maybe I'm reading or something, but you know. Anyway. It feels great to speak of it. And it feels like a blessing to the entire world. Especially if the majority of your hearers believe what you believe. Believe the truth of Christ. But if the majority of your hearers are not believers, it goes more like this. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. I'll give you some deal breakers here. I need to quit. Let someone read these or read them to them. And I can guarantee you, you'll probably see a little opposition. The reason I went to this. This is one of them. I underline stuff in my Bible. Now, that's for me. It ain't for you. But that's what I do. Because that was the way when I went to college and I actually had to buy my own books. I owned them. And I'd be in class and the teacher would emphasize something, I underlined it. So when I go to study for a test, I know where to look. Because there's a lot of nonsense in textbooks that you don't have to pay attention to, but you do want to highlight some of the good stuff. That's what I do. I put a little star by it. I'll underline it. I'll write a note in the margin. It's my Bible. I can do what I want with it. But this is one of the scriptures I remember reading because I was looking for stuff like this in the Old Testament and the New. This is one of the first scriptures I ever underlined. And here's some others where it talks about what God does for his people. And this is what people don't want to hear. I know because I've quoted some of them to them. Let's put it that way. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God draws to himself those that he loves. Every one. People hate that. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now they like that part about asking the Father and he'll give it to you. Now, but ye have not chosen me. Christ's choice is the only one that counts. People who follow Christ chose him and love him because he first chose them, loved them, or loved them and chose them. He chose you. You didn't choose me. It's that first part that really gives them trouble. And another one I found in Psalms that's heavily underlined. Psalms 110 and verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. It takes his power to make someone willing. And his power shall make someone willing. Whoever he chooses. Man, people don't like that. And then, of course, John 6, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Christ already hath. Past tense, been given his people. Goats hate this stuff. I've seen it. Reprobates hate this. Before conversion, God's people may hate it. I've seen a little bit of that too. Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. That changes everything. God chooses, God causes, and we're happy. His people are happy about it. Oh, he's going to bring you to God kicking and screaming. I've been accused of that. You believe God will bring you in kicking and screaming? Well, you may kick and scream first, but that ain't the way you're going to come in. He'll cause you to come in, but guess what? We'll be satisfied with the goodness of his house. And I am. Even of thy holy temple. That changes everything. Yep, that's what God does. He changes everything. That makes everything better. Yep, Christ makes everything better. If you're one of his. Continues on, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. It's ours. He gave it to us. He gave it to his people. Christ Jesus is the God of our salvation. He maketh the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. day or night, morning or evening, He's the God of our salvation. He made the world and controls the world. Like that article in Time magazine says, micromanaging. I like that. Some, there's that. I've lost it. There. Verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy token. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. But that makes some people afraid. Some will rejoice in His power. Some will rejoice in His choosing. Some will rejoice in His causing. Some don't. The Bible is full of us and them. There's us and then there's them. There's us and there's them. I like to be one of us. When Paul writes we, when Paul the Apostle writes us, when John writes us, when Peter writes us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Jude, we. That's where I want to be. I used to be one of them. But now I want to be one of us. And I want to be here. And I want to hear what His Word says. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this day. And Lord, we ask Your blessings now. Give Walter the words we need to hear. Give him a tongue to speak freely the words of Your grace, Your mercy, Your love, Your salvation for us. As we go forth in this world, we'll give You the praise and the honor and the glory because it is Yours. Amen.